Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want the Lord to speak to us in a somewhat of a personal way. Obviously, always a personal, but, you know, kind of deep down here, as we walk through this, you know, signs of disobedience to the Lord in our life have a lot to do with our lack or a person's lack of self-awareness. Now, when I say self-awareness, what that means is that we are very mindful about our own character and that we are aware, obviously, of our feelings, our motives, our desires. See, that's being self-aware. It's not, you know, just how I look or the space I'm taking up physically, self-awareness. We are very much aware of what's going on, you know, internally in our hearts, our minds, and we're not just sailing through life and always doing just the same as we've always done. And it just kind of rolls through life and sometimes gets accelerated and we get familiar with it. And the point that the Holy Spirit, we listen to, that in the moments where he's trying to make us self-aware of what's going on in here, that we pay attention to him and that we don't just gauge what we see with our eye as we're fruitful, because we can be deceived on what looks fruitful and good and interpret that as God's blessing upon who we are in here. See, we can look at good things happening and we can think, obviously, that's God's approval on my life, because there are things that come into our life that are fruitful and blessings that are his gracious approval upon us because we've obeyed him, we've held to his word. But we also know that we can obey him and things can be very tough and at times lean in our life. So we have to be careful that we don't just gauge success by what happens outwardly, but rather become very self-aware with the Holy Spirit about who we really are. Because he sees that. We can portray things to other people and we can hide it to a measure, but when the real us is going on and we're not real self-aware, that stuff spills out. And I want you to know that people can see that. Now, everybody can misinterpret and misunderstand us, no matter, and even, you know, misrepresent us in a variety of ways, and that's their opinion. It's not everybody's going to agree about you, right? And that's not the point. But there is a measure of what people think of you that matters. It's nice to be able to say, I don't care what people think of me, I'm just going to be who... Well, that sounds real nice, but your testimony and who you are that spills out is supposed to have a God impact upon people. So you and I should care to some degree in the healthy sense of what people think of us. I want to talk to you about this biblical principle, and we're going to pull somebody up out of the Old Testament here who seemed to lack self-awareness, didn't really manage and pay attention to what was going on inside, and the outcome of his life was not good. 1 Kings chapter 16, We're going to bounce around in 1 Kings, you know, back and forth, three or four chapters in there. We're going to pick out some selected verses to give you an overview. But if you're not real familiar, you can read, you know, 1 Kings chapter 16 through about chapter 21 on your own. And I recommend that you do it. So 1 Kings chapter 16, I'll read 29 and 30. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, all right, that's our character this morning that we're going to look at. Ahab, the son of Omri, began to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of the kings who were before him. That's quite a title. That's quite a title. His line, his lineage, it kept increasing in evil as the kings went by. More evil than any before him. You know, he seemed to have a particular hatred of God's people because of the influence, some influence, of his wife. Can you say Jezebel? Maybe some of you have heard that name or somebody called that, but you didn't really know the reference. This is the reference. Yeah, because of his pagan wife. Let's throw that in there. Now, just hold on before you start going too far down the road like, yep, another one of those women in the Bible that, you know, tripped us men up, right? Adam was doing good and then Eve, right? Yeah, you can do what you want, but I will tell you and remind you that even from Adam and Eve, sin came through the man. Sin came through Adam, and it's biblical. Did she sin? Yes, but sin came through Adam. And here we have Ahab and Jezebel, and if you read the story, the historical account, Jezebel is a pagan woman, pagan wife, idol worshiping, Baal, you list it. All the Asherah poles and altars to foreign gods and idols and all of, she was the epitome of embracing and encouraging all of that. And Ahab married her. You see, here's the problem. Not that Jezebel wasn't a problem, but the problem was not Jezebel. The problem is Ahab. He forfeited his authority. He gave it away. He still held the position and the title and could make decisions. But the real decisions he was not making. He forfeited his authority, his responsibility under this authority. He abdicated his leadership. Let me paraphrase it this way. He was afraid of his wife. How many men here? Never mind. I won't go into that too far. He gave away his authority. And that's a problem. And that's a problem in your life and in mine. When we forfeit our authority. Now, I'm not talking about taking authority that doesn't belong to you. And I'm not talking to you about being harsh and lording it over and saying, I have authority and I'm over you or I'm over. No. You see, the interesting thing is authority doesn't really need to tell others that they have authority. Ahab, he forfeited his. And Jezebel was not good, but he gave away his authority. And I'm going to tell you this. This is one of the things about being self-aware. Are we fearful? Are we insecure? Is that what motivates us to make the decisions we make? And we become the problem. You know, it's one thing to say, there's this Ahab spirit. Well, I want you to know, we know what that means, but I'm hard-pressed to find that biblically. Usually it's just our flesh at work. Our flesh at work, whether it comes out of being wounded or something in our history or our natural tendencies. And certainly when we operate in the flesh or these things, it opens the door to spiritual attack, spiritual oppression, spiritual strongholds, which enhance and make worse what came in the flesh. And I believe that that's what's happening here with Ahab. And certainly there are dark forces at work. But you understand, listen, you understand how dark forces get shut down. It's by us choosing to repent and obey God, pray, stand the testings of this life, and be humble enough to be discipled. To grow up in our life. And that may sound hard, but that's the truth. God is full of grace and mercy to empower us to be changed, to mature, to grow up in the faith, and to leave the past and the way we were behind and not allow our natural tendencies to take over, that we come to places where we forfeit our authority, we give leadership away, others are making decisions for us and through us. I want you to know that because of Ahab's disobedience and giving away authority, allowing decisions to be made for him and through him by other people, his life was ruined. And we're going to see this. And there's something I'm going to say later in this message that alludes to this, that when we do that in our life, the ramifications are greater, listen to this, greater than just the ramifications on our life. Because the result of his disobedience and a few of these things, like forfeiting his authority, it impacted the generations after him. And I want to tell you this. You and I had better pay attention to our family's worship. Who they worship. I tell you that I'm glad for our kids to be involved in things. We were running all over with our children. We had parameters, but you know, they were involved. We wanted them to do well. We wanted them to get the trophy. We wanted them to, you know, enjoy the victory, as you know, they were also challenged by defeat and somebody being better than them, because there's always somebody better than you. There's always somebody better than your kid. Okay? But we want them to learn how to take the knocks but become victorious over this thing, they're victorious in their life, and there's great life lessons if we allow ourselves to instruct them this way. But I'll tell you what, whatever they're chasing and whatever you're encouraging them to chase, I want to remind you that that is going to fade away. But they are an eternal being, and where will they spend it? That should be sacrificed every time. So enjoy those things. You can go after those things, but you better make sure that those things are not being worshipped and those are not number one in their life. The chances are they're going to graduate high school and they're going to work in a factory. And there's nothing wrong with working in a factory, but they weren't MVP of the NBA. Sorry about the acronyms. That's most valuable player in the National Basketball Association. Or whatever sport or whatever it is. Now, there are some who succeed, and they go on and through college and university. I think it's, and there might be somebody here who has a kid or a grandkid. They're going to make it to the pros. And we're going to celebrate, and we're going to say we're proud of them, and we're going to shout for them and cheer them on. But I will tell you that you better be really aware of what your family and who in your family and what and who they worship. Because he is number one. And I know that we can justify things saying, but God will give them a greater platform and they're going to have a greater experience and, you know, and getting the gospel out if they achieve all this stuff. Let me ask you something. How many of you were won to the Lord by somebody famous? Put your hand up. Look around the room. What's that tell you? It's person to person. It's neighbor to neighbor. It's family to family. Right? Not that God can't give us a platform. Famous people can win people, and all, I get it. But look. So be careful of the convincing thing that's in you to say, oh yeah, but for the kingdom. It can happen. But you just remember the populace is won by somebody living and out and loving you, who knows you and cares for you and is in your community, and right? So you pay attention to who your family worships, because Ahab was not self-aware of who he was worshiping, who he was disobeying, and who his family was worshiping. Do you know Ahab, a guy who forfeits his authority, a husband who forfeits his authority, a woman who is a pagan worshiper and encouraging all this stuff. Do you know what kind of kids they're going to have? So here's the other thing. So pay attention. Don't forfeit your authority that God has given you. Don't take authority that doesn't belong to you. But don't abdicate your leadership in the places of your life. It's our responsibility. And when we give that up and we're not paying attention, we're not self-aware, a knowledge of our character, feelings, motives, desires, we're in for trouble. Ahab did not have a bright future because he didn't fix this. Ahab, you know, if you look to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, interesting thing happens. Elijah, the prophet of God, shows up. And when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Ahab is blaming somebody else for the trouble that's going on in Israel. You and I need to pay attention to this. Do we forfeit our authority and do we blame other people? Because the interesting thing is, Elijah is not the troubler. And he replies and he says this, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." You've disobeyed God and you're worshiping something and someone else. You're the one, Ahab, that has caused judgment and famine to come to Israel for 3.5 years. It's not Elijah's fault. It's Ahab. Wasn't Jezebel's fault. She's a contributor. It was Ahab. He let it happen by his choices, by his fear, his insecurities, not being aware of what really is ticking and what's going on in here. God gives Ahab very specific instructions in 1 Kings chapter 20. And I'm not going to read it. It's the whole chapter. I'm not going to take time to read it. But the outcome is this. God has set it up that the king of Aram would lose in battle against Israel. And Ahab was told from the Lord to him that you will conquer them, you will annihilate them, but I want you to kill the king of Iran. Do not let him live. Now, you might have a problem with that theologically, and I'm not going to discuss that this morning. But I want you to, this was the direction to Ahab, the king of Israel, God's people. And instead, as Ahab and Israel conquer Aram, get this, Ahab makes a treaty with the king of Aram, who he was supposed to kill. Disobeyed God, and now he makes a treaty with that which he was supposed to kill. I want you to hear this. If you and I do not crucify the flesh and the things, if we are not so, we don't crucify those things that are against God in our life, those things will kill you. That's a hard principle to hear. How many things in your life, or do I in my life, that we make a treaty with, we make an agreement with, we compromise with, that we should really be crucifying in our life? If we don't crucify that, it will kill us. If we don't kill, it's kill or be killed. Thank you, Shirley. Dobie. Get her full name on the recording. Listen, it's kill or be killed. Jesus, I mean, this whole idea of pick up your cross and crucify your flesh. I mean, Romans, listen to Romans. Paul writes it in Romans chapter 8, verse 13 through 15. Just listen to this. Let me find it first. Here we are. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to the natural desires, the opposite things by which God calls us to live by, right? If we don't kill it, it kills us. We lose out in the end. And we will allow this stuff to live on in us if we don't become very self-aware and manage and pay attention to the motives and desires in our life. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery. Do not be a slave to sin. Stand up, and you and I are supposed to crucify it in our life. And we might, who are believers for quite a while, we might just think, well, you know, I don't steal anymore, and I don't commit murder anymore. And we look at the big things on the list. I want you to know that the small foxes ruin the vine. And you and I had to better pay attention, be very self-aware of what makes us tick and why we make the decisions we make. And don't just look at the outward stuff and say, it's been working out. Look how prosperous I am. Look at all. And you take that as a sign of God's blessing. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of people who have entered the kingdom of heaven long before us who didn't prosper in everything. It's not the only sign of God's blessing. You know, we better pay attention that we don't forfeit our authority, and we better pay close attention if our tendency is to blame others. You can look at Elijah in chapter 16 of 1 Kings, and he has a showdown. And God shows himself victorious and the only living God in a battle over a sacrifice that's made. that has to have fire from heaven come and consume it, supernatural power. And I'll tell you that the priests of Baal had no success because their gods are not God. And you better pay attention to who you and your family are worshiping, because I will tell you, the trophies of this earth will not save you. Third thing, besides forfeiting authority and blaming others, you be aware of those things if they show up in your life, is 1 Kings 21. Ahab really wants this vineyard owned by Naboth. He really wants this vineyard. And Naboth tells him, listen, I'm not going to sell it to you. I can't sell it to you. This was given to me as an inheritance. So here we are in this chapter, and I want to get to the right verse here. Forgive me this morning. I have more notes than usual, and I couldn't memorize all of this, although I know most of it in my mind and heart here. It's verse 15 through 20, chapter 21. This is what's going on over Naboth's vineyard. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, now I want you to know, Ahab sulks because he, as the king, can't buy this vineyard that he really wants. He really wants this. I mean, he's already got so much, but he really wants this vineyard. And he sulks because he can't have it. And Jezebel, his wife, is basically, I'm paraphrasing here, you're the king of Israel, oh, you big baby. So she puts it in motion. She makes a plan to have Naboth killed, so now the vineyard could be up for sale. Well, Jezebel hears, okay, that Naboth had been stoned and is dead. Her plan came together. Jezebel then went to Ahab and said, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you money for. For Naboth is not alive but dead. As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he arose, he went down to the vineyard, and he took possession of it. Well, the Lord, who knows all things and watches and hears, sees the attitude of the hearts. He is very aware of us, though we are not always self-aware of what's going on and our motives. He sees us, he speaks to Elijah and says, get over to the vineyard. It goes through this whole thing. It's a beautiful story. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. I'm just going to get to the point here. Basically, things were taken into their own hands, and they manipulated it to get the outcome that they wanted. Because he sulked. You better be careful. I want you to pay attention to this. When things don't work out like you want and you can't have what you want in your life, do you sulk? What sulking? It's a bad temper silenced. Sometimes we throw little fits and we say stuff, but sulking is mostly internal. We're angry, we're frustrated, we didn't get what we want, and we sulk. And it's this silent rebellion, anger, disappointment. You see, you and I better pay attention to that within us. Don't forfeit, right? Don't forfeit your authority. Don't blame others. And you better watch sulking when you don't get your way in a meeting or at home or get what you want and how this affects you and how, well, no, I'm just going to take that into my own hands. I got resources. I can. You better pay attention to that, because that does not please the Lord. And it's going to lead you astray. And if you don't pay attention, you are very weak in self-awareness. And you will be up for sale. Hear this. You will be up for sale. Not even to the highest bidder, to the most convenient bidder. Pay attention to these things in your life and in your heart. I'm going to give you the conclusion. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. You listen to this. Actually, I'm going to read a few verses here. Okay. Ahab goes to Elijah. Have you found me, O my enemy? This is Ahab when Elijah is told by the Lord to go down to the vineyard. Ahab sees him. Have you found me, my enemy? He answered, I have found you. Watch this. Because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. If you have faith in Christ, you are already bought. You're bought. How is it that we can go and sell ourselves? How is it I can go sell myself out? Because I'm not self-aware, remembering what kind of character are we supposed to have? What kind of motives? Where do we arrest ourselves so that we don't sin against Him? That we don't offend him, because watch what happens here. Elijah's speaking after he says, you've sold yourself to do what's evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up. I will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam. And you'd have to go back, but it's a disaster. He goes and says, like the house of Baasha. It's a disaster. Just trust me. The anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. He's not being figurative. The dogs ate her. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heaven shall eat. Listen, this is affecting his family. Our deal in here is not just ours. It seeps out and it can affect the people around us, the ones who you and I say we love, because we made a treaty with these things. I won't do it as often. I won't do it as much. I'll hide it better. It doesn't just affect you. It affects your own. And because of a lack of a self-awareness and this weakness in Ahab or in us, we sell ourselves out to a very convenient bidder, not the highest bidder. And the result is that Ahab was an abomination to the Lord. I'm going to ask you, and I need to ask myself this, who owns me? What owns me? We're supposed to be different than the world in character and in motive and desire. We're supposed to be different. Here's a question we should ask ourselves. Another question. There's a lot of questions. Hope you wrote these down. You can watch it in a few days and play pause and write it down. What holds me back from obeying the Lord? What holds me back? Is it fear? Is it selfish desire? Fear of conflict? Is it insecurity? What is it? I mean, Ahab had these issues within him. He wasn't aware. He's given away his authority. He's blaming other people. It just rolls along and rolls out of him. He sold himself out to that which is evil. He sulks, and manipulation and evil set in, and taking advantage of other people. And we call it, we got a deal. Oof. Are you aware of yourself? The attitude within you, am I aware of it? That attitude which determines what I do. how I plan, the decisions I make, the words I use, the way I treat people. When you're the buyer, here's an example. When you're the buyer, have you ever put yourself in the seller's shoes? Or are you just looking to take advantage? When you're the seller, you ever put yourself in the buyer's shoes? There's a place in something called reasonable and honorable. And yet do we take advantage, people? I don't think the Lord's pleased when we take advantage. Let me ask you something. Our attitude towards, well, money. And it could be anything. But what if obeying God costs you money? If it costs me money, then that's not God. What if obeying God costs you money? What I mean by that is not money you give, but to do clean business dealings. To give to God what's God's and etc. What if obeying God costs you money? Then what are you going to do? Are you going to obey Him? Or are you going to scheme? And you can plug in whatever it is, whatever selfish desire it is. And sometimes we just get so caught up in what we've been doing, and yet we don't do like the big obvious sins, and we lose self-awareness. We just stop the standard here and we let the other stuff go on. When you do that, when I do that, we give up our authority because we usurped it ourself. We tend to blame others, and then when things don't work out, we don't just blame others, we sulk. And then we try to get over sulking by manipulating people or getting somebody else to do something for us so we get what we want, or we try to scheme. And God looks at all of that. He's preparing us as His bride that we're supposed to be without spot or wrinkle. And that's not just the outward. I want you to know what's amazing to me as I've watched over the years in my life and others as they experience and go through this. It's amazing. It's sad sometimes how people have more awareness about us than we do about ourselves, because the real us slips out and it affects our reputation to the point where people will go more than one. People will go, I would never go to that church. I'd never go to New Life. So-and-so goes there. And they call themselves a Christian. But this is what I experience. This is what I watch them do. Not hearsay. Personal. Now, we can't please everybody. Somebody's going to misrepresent us, misunderstand us. I get it. I leave room for that in my life, your life, all of our lives. But when there happens to be two or three witnesses, maybe we need to be self-aware of what we do, what we say, compared to who we think we are, and manage those things, change those things, no matter what the cost, because if we don't kill it, it will kill you. And He has made a way for us to have life. And we're to follow Him by crucifying these things. And he brings life, fulfillment, joy, and an eternity to us. I want you to stand with me, please. One of the obvious signs of disobedience in our life is that we lack self-awareness. You better pay attention to your desires, and you better pay attention, right, to motives. I don't stumble over this. The Lord's really helped me over a lot, decades. And I'm sure there's people who feel the same way about me. But I wish there were things I didn't know about people. Some of you just get off on it. I love knowing that about people. You're sick. You need a physician. We belong to him. Don't sell out to something else. I don't care if it's money. Don't sell out. Let's not ruin ourselves. Let's not hinder his great name. This is not condemnation, by the way. We all have enough in our history to condemn ourselves. This is not accusing. This is about you and I, by the help of the Holy Spirit, when it talks about the fruit of self-control, we have to have self-awareness. What is our motive? What is our motive? Because as we play it out, it could look very Christian, right? It could look very Christian to people, and then we convince ourselves that it is. But God looks on the inside. Nobody knows what's going on inside you except the Spirit within you and God. That's why we can't really be a final judge for one another. Because something could come out of Isaac's life that looks Christian, and something could come out of Brother Clarence's life and look very Christian. But the motive between the two is very different. And God looks at that. So come clean. God help us live clean. We're going to make some mistakes. We just need to grow in being self-aware and mindful to the Spirit. What's going on in here? Because remember, this isn't just going to affect you. Your kids are going to pick up on it. They're going to watch you. And they might duplicate what you do. And what we have found out is the next generation always takes it further than the generation before it. What does that mean for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids? And you think it's just them making bad decisions, but they saw it somewhere. Ahab, Jezebel. So, don't give away the authority that God has given you in the areas of your life to the level that you have been given authority. Don't blame other people. Don't sulk when you don't get your way. Watch your motives. Ahab didn't make it, and neither did Jezebel. But you and I still have breath, and he has made a way for people like me, and he loves you. Let's be the living church, and let Christ shine brightly in and through our lives.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.